Tassie's latest sporting news. It's now time for Tassie Time.
The work of a modern master. 200 for Ricky Ponting.
Mystic Journey over the top takes the lead. She is one free from the backup. Mystic Journey's won the All-Star Final. Excellent quarter.
Some bow-tied brilliance here today. He'll go back-to-back, all right. He's making a mess of them, but it's bow-tied. Absolutely brilliant.
Return for 10.
Steve Old joins Matt Nevitt.
Yeah, time for Tassie Time on this Wednesday morning, and there's plenty happening in Tasmanian sport. The Jack Jumpers, they kick off their NBL campaign, I should say, this weekend against the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. It's in Melbourne. Steve Old, he's their number one fan, and I wonder if he's coming across. Good morning, Oldie.
Matty, how are you, mate?
Are you heading across to Victoria to watch the Jack Jumpers in action this weekend?
Not this Saturday night, I won't say. I've got some family duties, but I'll be over in a couple of weeks when we play United in Melbourne. I'm going to be over for that game with the family, so looking forward to that one.
All right, looking forward to it. I wonder if their CEO is coming across. Simon Brookhouse from the Jack Jumpers joins us on Tassie Time. Good morning to you, Simon. Thanks for your time.
G'day, Matt. G'day, Steve. How are you?
How are the preparations going ahead of your second season in the NBL after such a successful inaugural season?
Oh, they're going really well. We obviously had a pretty good pre-season. We played a couple of games in Tassie against Southeast Phoenix and were able to beat them and had a good blitz. And we lost one game up there, but ultimately we won our two others. So, we're looking pretty good. We've got a couple of injuries, but they're all coming along very well. And all teams at this time of year are sort of managing injuries and their rosters. And we're quite confident that we're going to have a great season.
Mate, not only the playing side, before we even get into that, sponsors off the back of the season last year, it's been a huge sign of support for the club that pretty much all our major sponsors are signed on again for long term.
Yeah, look, it's fantastic support from our partners, and Christine Finnegan and her team have done a great job of ensuring we get long term commitments from them, and we couldn't be happier. And I mean, a number of other clubs are struggling a little bit with corporate support, but we're going from strength to strength. So, and again, as I've said many times, the great thing about it is that 95% of our partners are Tasmanian-based and great Tasmanian companies.
Simon, I think you surprised many people when you made the NBL finals last season. The bar's been set for season number two in the competition. Are you confident that you can be mixing it with the best once again?
Oh, absolutely. I think we proved that in the pre-season, and our culture is very strong. We've got the same core group of players coming back, and we've added two new imports and a couple of new development players, but the team itself looks great. The defensive philosophy that we play by is stronger than ever, and the coaching staff are very happy with the way things are going. But having said that, the competition gets tougher every year, and I suspect we'll be a bit more of the hunter this year than we were last year. We flew under the radar a little and probably shocked a few people with how well we went.
Mate, we always talk on this show about how the league's just getting better and better, as you just said. Who are the teams you reckon to watch this year? Obviously, Adelaide's recruited through the roof. Who do you reckon the top couple of sides to watch are this year?
Yeah, it's really difficult because so many teams have had major roster changes this year. I think Adelaide will certainly be a big improver. Their three import spots are all filled with very strong, high-quality players. I think we'll see Perth bounce back this year after the shock of them not making finals for the last 35 years last year. So you can never write off Melbourne United and Sydney, and Brisbane have picked up Aaron Baines and another great importer who's played a lot of NBA basketball. So, and the unknown, I guess, is probably New Zealand, who finally get after 2 years to play home games again. So everyone gets stronger every year, but I think that in terms of in comparison, we're well and truly in the mix. I couldn't tip a potential champion at this stage. I think we'll get a better understanding after the first few rounds.
Jack Jumpers CEO Simon Brookhouse is on the line here on Tassie Time. Simon, off the back of your success last year, did you notice an increase in interest in basketball in Tasmania? Like, have you seen that impact already occur?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. We have a strong relationship with Basketball Tasmania down here, and their numbers are growing, and junior numbers are growing really quickly, and we see that the enrolments in various clinics around the state are up on year, so I think that there's no doubt that it's had an impact. I mean, as we all know, it's always been a popular sport in Tasmania, but I think now with something to aspire to in terms of having their own team in a national league, it, it just heightens people's enthusiasm about playing the game, and we're quite confident that'll continue to go.
Mate, how are the new recruits fitting in? Obviously, like every season, I think every club gets new recruits in and stuff. We've obviously got a couple in, and we've obviously got Josh back again, Josh Maget. How are the two newies fitting in?
Oh, look, Milton and Rashad have fitted in really well. They're both high-quality guys. They're professional. They've played all around the world, and they've got family here, and I think that's really important with our team. We're very much family-orientated. A high number of our players have got young kids, and they get on really well together, but it's been very seamless. They're both really hard workers. They fit into the defensive philosophy of our team. They play strong defence, and they get up and down the floor, and they're both very athletic, so I think they're going to be very exciting to watch.
Simon, one thing that we've spoken a lot about on this show over the past few months, even probably years, to be honest, is this 19th licence bid from Tasmania into the AFL. From a basketball perspective, from a Jack Jumpers perspective, do you feel as though there is room for another professional sporting outfit to join the ranks in Tasmania, or do you think that it could potentially be detrimental to, say, the Jack Jumpers or the Hurricanes or other professional sporting teams in Tasmania?
Look, I don't think it would be detrimental at all. I think it's important that, you know, Tasmania is a great sporting state, deserves its representation on the national scale, and I don't think there's any hiding the fact that AFL is the biggest sport in the country, and to have a team down here, I think, just attracts more people to playing sport in Tassie and gives young kids every opportunity to choose the sport and enjoy that great camaraderie that comes between around playing sport in clubs and whatnot. So I don't see it as detrimental. We're a summer sport, and obviously the AFL is a winter sport, and they coexist all around the country, whether it be AFL in Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland and the other states, or rugby league. I think that it can only be good for the state if we get more elite sport here.
Well, Simon, I know there's many people, including myself, that are looking forward to seeing how the Jack Jumpers fare in their second season in the competition, and really can't wait for Saturday night's contest against the South East Melbourne Phoenix at John Cain Arena. I don't think there'll be too many people sleeping on the Jack Jumpers this season. They're well and truly in the market for this first game as well. So good luck on Saturday night and for the remainder of the season.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
There's the CEO of the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers, Simon Brookhouse, joining us there, Aldi. And I think that I can sense a bit of confidence from within their camp that they are going to be able to back up their feats of their first season in the comp.
Oh, mate, I think it's as much the fact that, you know, barring injuries, we've obviously got Will Magno and Clint Stein have still had injuries and stuff. But apart from that, I think Scott and the coaching team have just got the team prepared as best they can. And we can't, you know, we can't be judged or can't compare about what other sides have done, etc. We can only worry about our own internals, and I think from all our point of views, our internals have all been ticked. The coaches have got the players fitness-wise where they want to, mental where they want to. They've got them on the structure, and they've got them about the culture that we want to set in Tasmania. So whether that leads to us winning, you know, 20 games or 5 games, we've done everything we can as in the coaches to get the side where they want to. We're comfortable where the side is on and off the court, so we couldn't be happier from that perspective. But as I said, when you talk about some of the sides, and Simon mentioned it, they have recruited amazingly well. So you know, we can't focus on what they've done. We can only focus on ourselves, and we can't be happy about where we are as a side. And I'm really looking forward to Saturday night to watch them play. And then we've got Cairns at home on Monday night, so it's going to be fantastic to see a packed crowd back at my state arena on Monday night with the place buzzing. You know, pretty much the whole, you know, normal team coming back. And just touching on too, it's just amazing. Clint Steinle and his wife Kayla had a little baby girl, Addison Kay Steinle, a couple of weeks ago, just adding to the Jack Jumpers family down here. And, you know, they've just been an amazing addition, that family, to our basketball club. And congratulations to both Clinton and Kayla. It's just a great addition to the state. And I know they're really happy. I talked to Clint a fair bit. He couldn't be happy other than the fact he's injured at the moment, but I guess it also gives him a bit of time to spend with his new baby daughter.
Tassie time here on RSN Central. You're with Matt Nevitt and Steve Old. Oldie, the AFL's bid for this the Tasmanian bid for the 19th licence into the AFL. Are we expected to wait a little bit now? Is that what we're hearing? It's looking good, but we're not going to know for a little while?
Yeah, look, I've said this before, the messages I'm hearing is it's a done deal. Yeah. Obviously, there's a bit going on in the political ranks down here at the moment in relation to the stadium and the conversations with whether we should have another stadium or not. But I think we've got to look from the stadium point of view. This is not just a AFL stadium. This is going to be part of a precinct down at Macquarie Point that is about getting concerts, bands, all those sort of things down the Hobart. There's going to be an entertainment precinct with a raft and other things down there. And I think we've got to make sure we don't get caught up that this is actually about a stadium just for AFL footy. It's far bigger than that. And you know, and I think, to be honest, if you read the business case in Tasmania, is going to have an AFL team that's going to get, you know, sell out crowds and all those sort of things. And if people know Tasmania weather, I think we desperately do need a roof stadium. You know, Blunston and York Park or Utah Stadium up in the north have served, you know, a great purpose. But if we are going to be fair dinkum serious about having an AFL side, be competitive, have players want to come down and play for the side, all those sort of things, we do have to have a fit-for-purpose roof stadium that all of Tasmania can be proud of, and it can serve a multitude of other things. So I'm a bit disappointed with the games being played politically with this one at the moment. I struggle to see how three political parties can support an AFL team but then don't want to have a new stadium for it. I find that a bit hard to believe. So I just wish we sometimes took the politics out of this stuff and actually delivered what was in the best interest of the state. And I think if we're going to have a Tassie feed, we do need to get a fit-for-purpose stadium that meets the needs of the AFL team.
Yeah, I'm with you, Oldie. Look, I don't understand the financials behind it and exactly the costings and what that would mean for other things that could potentially be built with that money. But having a state-of-the-art facility that can host a professional sporting team like an AFL team in Tasmania, I don't see too many negatives with that whatsoever. So I'd be finding the money if I'm the Tasmanian state government to make sure that it gets over the line.
I'd like to think about how much, and I'd love to see a report done on how much money walks off this island every week with Tasmanians travelling on the mainland to go and listen to concerts and all those sort of things. If we can actually bring them back to our own backyard and have, you know, these 23 to 27,000 capacity stadium and have all these concerts you see on the mainland, AFL games on the mainland, you know, Tassie team playing Collingwood or Essendon down here at our own stadium, the economic benefit of that would be huge. But the economic stimulus or money that we're losing to the mainland at the moment would be astronomical. So I think we've got to weigh it up both ways and talk about the money that we're actually losing at the moment and the benefit this could bring back to Tasmania would be far greater than the loss, I reckon. So, as I said, I just hate to see things played like, pardon the pun, political footballs. I think we just need to work out what is in the best interest. So we're going to have a Tassie team. You've got to have a new stadium that's fit for purpose. Because, again, you're going to have AFL players. The issue Tasmania is going to have long term is, like GWS do and Gold Coast, is do players want to move down to Tasmania and be part of a commitment to living in Tasmania and being part of the side? Part of that is that they train in a fit-for-purpose, decent stadium. If they don't do that, then the players are going to come down here for a year or two and then, like they have in GWS and Gold Coast, be groomed and then they're going to be taken back to the mainland to other clubs. And Tasmania is always going to struggle as a destination. So I think we have to think globally about what we need. If we're going to have a team, we need to think about all these aspects if we're going to do it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if people don't hold that view, they're naive to think what might happen, because we've seen it firsthand with the Giants and the Gold Coast. And a lot of people say, well, there's no better place to live than the Gold Coast, but yet there's players leaving that football club every single year. So you're right, you need to have everything in place to ensure that once you develop that talent, it stays in Tasmania to make sure that they're competitive. Because if they're not competitive, then that becomes an even greater challenge, being able to attract good players to the football club as well. So, yep, let's hope that stadium deal gets done. They build it and they've got that AFL team ready to go in 2027. Oldie, I was also reading this morning that Tim Payne is up for selection for the Tasmanian state team in their opening Shield match. He missed out on being picked for the one-day team, but he could be behind the stumps for their Shield game, which is exciting.
Oh, how great will that be? And I think we had Ridey on last week talking about it. I think Payne is in, from what he said, fantastic nick, both physically and mentally, and let's hope he gets selected for the first game and comes out and has a cracker of a game. I'd just love to see it. And, fingers crossed, as he gets selected, one, and two, as he comes out and performs, which I know he will. So I'm really excited to see him back on the field. It's going to be great for him.
Yeah, that'd be a great story. Obviously, had that difficult period last year with the sexting scandal, but he has done so much for Australian cricket and certainly for Tasmanian cricket that I think most people would agree it'd be great to see him get an opportunity to play at least one more season with Tasmania and finish his career on a high. Oldie, always love catching up, mate. We'll do it again soon.
Good to talk to you, mate.
Back to RSN Central. It's 2 minutes past midday. Time to catch up with Peter Staples now to discuss all the latest Tasmanian racing news. Good afternoon to you, Stapes.
Good afternoon, Matty.
Now, the Horse of the Year Awards are on this weekend. Can you give us the scoop? Who's going to pick up the top gong?
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be tight. It probably will all depend on whether they take interstate form only against a local form. And look, to be honest, I think it's going to be between Mystic Journey and Still a Star. Still a star, won the Group 2 Rose of Kingston, beating Mystic Journey home. And then Still a Star ran in the Group 1 Empire Rose, and she finished down the track, but she suffered a bleeding attack and was subsequently retired. And we all know Mystic Journey, she ran second to Colette, and Colette won the race courtesy of probably one of Damien Oliver's best rides this year. So I think it's going to be out of those two that will fight it out, and the local weight race winner might have to settle for a minor prize. But I just think that's the way it'll play out. But which way it'll fall, we'll have to wait out and find out on the night.
So the big win for Still a Star versus the second in a Group 1 for Mystic Journey.
She was placed in the other two races that she contested.
True.
You know, they were both group events. We all know that she didn't race again after that. She was sold to Japan for an undisclosed sum. Some were saying $2 million, but I haven't heard that from Wayne Rose, so I'll wait until I hear it from his lips as to what she sold for. But it could have been that much or maybe more, who knows. And Still a Star was sold as a broodmare for $700,000, and Widen Stud purchased her at the Magic Millions broodmare sale in May. So, they've both gone off to a career at stud, and I think everyone's will be eagerly awaiting their progeny.
They were the banner horses for Tasmania for a number of years, Pete, and obviously yeah. they weren't just good horses, they were star horses, especially Mystic Journey, who won an all-star mile, the inaugural all-star mile, and I remember being on course for that day. It was quite the scenes as well with the ownership group, and it was
emotional.
It was very emotional.
Wayne Roser owned Mystic Journey, and she took him on an incredible ride, and of course Adam Trinder had sort of put him on the world stage, really, certainly the national stage.
Yeah.
But like every trainer knows, you only need one good horse to make things turn around, but you've got to be good enough to get the best out of them, and Adam certainly was with Mystic Journey, or Betty, as she was better known nationally. And we're just waiting for the next one, and where that will come from, we're not quite sure. But
yeah, I was going to say, do you have an idea?
He's a standout 2-year-old of the year, and he got beaten in the showdown, $1 million showdown, and that was his target, and he was so game, and he's trialled up. He's got another trial to come, and he'll race here, and then they'll have a look at where they can take him.
Do you think he's the most likely horse to sort of take that mantle over the next 12 months from a Tasmanian perspective?
Well, he's a brazen bow, and he hasn't become chunky like they often do at 3 and 4. And Adam was very mindful of that. He mentioned that when Brendan McCool rode him to win his trial in Devonport a couple of weeks ago. And he said he hasn't chunked out, so to speak, and because they can get chunky. And he says when they get chunky, they get slow. So he's sort of hoping he can stay a lean, mean fighting machine. But he's pretty smart, and Adam's got a really good team. He's got a horse that's just coming through the ranks, Multi Santi, that just continues to win and shows a lot of promise. And he's got a couple of others in the wings, and he's got some babies that are looking promising as well. So I'm looking forward to these the 2-year-olds this year. I think the ones by Stratosphere, Gray McCulloch's stadium. All reports are that they're more glowing than they were about the Alpine Eagles from Armidale. So we'll see what the line are the Stratospheres can do once they get to racing later in the year for the first 2-year-old race. It's always exciting.
Peter Staples is with me here on RSN Central's Tassie Time. Stapes, I did have a horse in front of me, but it's just been deleted off the screen, the name of this horse that you wanted to raise with me. I think it was Power Magnum. Is that correct?
That's the one, Johnny Blacker's 4-year-old, lightly raced. He fractured a pedal bone early in his 3-year-old career. Showed enormous potential at 2, and just a freak accident on the training track at Longford. He just cantering away, and foot came down at the wrong spot, the wrong way, and then fractured the pedal bone in a few places. And well, as luck would have it, not as lucky to do that, but the next day, a vet from South Australia who specialises in repairing and operating on those particular type of joints lobbed at Longford, which is across the road from John Stables, and he inspected the gelding and said, well, yep, I'll do the operation now. And there he pinned and screwed it and did all the right things. And here he is. He's won two from two this time in, and he was very impressive on Sunday. It's not easy to win a maiden and then come out and win a Class 1 the way that he won the Class 1. There was just a lot of authority in it. And I've got no doubt that this flashy chestnut is going to make an impact. John will look after him. He gets the leg scanned after every run, and it's all, you know, staying together lovely. So, and he's just very mindful of it and probably treats him with kid gloves, so as you would when they've got that much ability. So we just hope it all stays together for him. And Power Magnum, he's certainly one that we can watch. He's a very nice horse.
All right, Power Magnum. We'll keep an eye on him. No racing in Tasmania this week, Stapes. Next meeting is next Wednesday at Launceston at night.
Night racing's back, mate. Derby sees like 5 minutes ago.
It does, doesn't it? It's amazing.
At night, and it's been 6 months, but time flies when you're having fun. And we go to night racing. Once again, we got coverage on Thoroughbred Central. I'll be working with Jason Witham on Sky Thoroughbred Central. We'll probably be bringing the back half, at least the back half of the program on Thoroughbred Central. And, of course, Taz Racing, it's live stream. Will be those who want to see all the mounting yard stuff and all the other interviews and so forth through Taz Racing live stream. They can get that with Matty Reid and on next, or Matty Reid and Duncan Dornoff next Wednesday night. But I'll be on Sky from, well, who knows, we might get most of the program.
Good stuff, mate. Look forward to it next Wednesday. There you go, at Launceston. Night racing commences once again in Tasmania. Stapes, we'll catch up next week.
Look forward to it, Matty.